it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Man City Show. John Stapleton standing in for Nigel Rothman. So, after yet another below par performance, we are still in with a good chance of winning the title. The question now is, which of our next fixtures do we fear the most? Joining me to discuss that and a lot more, we've got David Blakeney, we've got Spencer Debson, and we've got Nick Godson. Jack, guys, welcome to you all. Let's talk about the Forest game first of all. After the game, Pepe scored us saying we were lucky to win. David, do you agree?
It's hard to say whether it's luck. If it's bad finishing on their behalf, that's not luck on our behalf. That's just bad finishing. I mean, you know, you could say we're unlucky half the time, but if we've got bad finishing, we don't say, well, we're unlucky, do we? So it's just, you know, we're just a better team still. So maybe it's a lack of quality. So, no, I wouldn't put it down to luck.
What about you, Spencer?
I don't think it was luck, actually. It was certainly our worst performance for quite some time. Probably fatigue was in there. You have games like that. We're so demanding, aren't we? Every game, we've got to be at that high level. We went into a nice 2-0 lead. They missed some crazy chances. But I do think with this City team, you know, had they put some of their chances away, we would have raised our game, gone to the level and seen the job through. Because, you know, the quality's there. So I think we were always going to win this game. But Forest were very, very wasteful.
Nick, lucky or not?
This is football. It's just how it is. I think a lot of people have compared to the same fixture last year. We absolutely blew them apart. Couldn't score. They scored a late equaliser, and it was 1-1. This year, we really weren't very good. I mean, we really
first half in particular, Nick.
Huh?
First half in particular.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really strange off-colour performance. Maybe it was fatigue. It was just one of those games that we seem to get every so often in a run-in. But fortunately, we end up normally winning them. You know, there were one or two bits of greatness. The Gvardiol goal was a great header from in front of the front post. He made a really vital clearance off the line later in the game. And then Haaland pitched up and just made that goal look so easy. It was ridiculous.
David, Pep also said we were lucky with the pitch. I didn't quite understand what he meant by that, did you?
It was an inverted Mickey take.
Oh, was it? It passed me by, I must say.
So what he was saying is the pitch was, all the players were moaning about the pitch to him. So we knew there was a problem because he said they're very dry. They hadn't watered it. So they were trying to be clever, get one over the way they prepared the pitch. So what he was saying is thankfully the pitch was that dry. It made it difficult for them as well. And they missed 14 chances because the pitch was dry. So he was just basically throwing it back at them. So, well, you make it dry and then you miss the chances. You've gone and screwed yourself, haven't you? So that's really what he was getting at.
I now understand. I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what happened. They all complained. I don't know if you heard about it, but I think Kyle Walker mentioned it as well.
I think Walker complained before the game started.
Before the game, yeah, it was really dry.
Spencer, the fact of the matter is that Wood in particular threw it away for them, didn't he?
Very much so. I mean, he's been sort of their form man, hasn't he, in the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks? He sort of, his whole body language was just off, wasn't it? He missed that first one. He just looked, you know, he just couldn't believe he'd missed it. And then I think he missed three big chances. So all strikers have that. Even our great Erling misses from time to time. Not yesterday. Amazing finish. Brilliant. Made something difficult look really great. And, you know, our players, they played 9 games in a month. So, you know, perhaps a little amount of fatigue, even in the modern days with all the modern management and nutritionists and physios, perhaps we're allowed to have a little bit of an off day. But we got the win and, you know, move forward.
Nick, let's talk in a little more detail about that first half performance in particular. How do you account for it? We can't complain with that tad, can we? We did have a game against a few days previously, but that's all. That's not unusual for City, is it? Nick?
Well, I think it's a fair shout that we were a bit tired, but you know, I don't think we were more tired than we were in the Brighton game, for example. I was expecting the Forest game to be tough. And, you know, to be fair to Forest, other than the chances they missed, they played reasonably well.
They did.
They were pretty dynamic. And they've got one or two half-decent players in amongst the rest of them. So it wasn't the easiest of games. And it always looked like a really tough one because they're supposed to be fighting for their lives. And they just couldn't quite make it happen. But they did sort of everything else right except get the goals that may well have won them the match.
David, let's talk about some positives. And for me, one of the big positives was Guardiola. I mean, he took a bit of seat when he first arrived, and he's playing left back when he's actually a centre-half, fundamentally, I think. I think he's emerging as one of our star players. What about you?
Yeah, just quickly on the tardiness bit, though, I would like to say, I don't think any way tardiness played into it at all. The first half, we all knew after 20 minutes, he had the wrong team out there. We knew he needed Kovacic in there. We knew that Doku was just absolute waste of time in that game yesterday. And it just wasn't the right team. So I think part of the problem was we had the wrong team and the wrong people on the pitch.
Can you elaborate on that for me? Why was Doku the wrong person?
Pardon?
Why was Doku wrong?
Because he's not great going back and in defensive duties. He had limited time with the ball up front, and he loses the ball too easily, and we always are on the back foot. He's not a good defender. He's not learned like some of the others how to defend. So you could see all the mistakes he was making. He was giving them possession. Yeah, they all made some mistakes, and maybe they reckon some of that's a pitch, but I think he was very weak at that. It's not when we play Brighton, we had Kovacic there. He gives us a bit of strength in the middle. When you're playing away games, we're up against very fast players. And that's where we're not great. When we're up against a team, when there's speed and there's power, which they did have, that does catch us. So we needed a bit more strength in midfield. So that's why I think it was a problem.
We'll come back to Guardiola in a minute. It's a very interesting point you raised. Let's go to Spencer. Did Pep pick the wrong team, Spencer?
I wouldn't really have said that, to be honest, but I do take the point with Doku, and we were all shouting out for Kovacic in the middle because they were just sort of cutting through us at will, really. And it's kind of hard to criticise the selection. We did have some niggles, didn't we? We sort of DS Foden out. But yeah, I was certainly surprised to see both Grealish and Doku on the field to start. And we could sort of retrofit the result, can't we, and say that Doku shouldn't have been on there. But I thought the starting 11 was decent, just for whatever reason we were just subpar. In great contrast to the Brighton game, which was only 3 days earlier, so it is hard to fathom sometimes why that was the case.
Nick, did he pick the wrong team?
Yeah, I think there's a case to saying it. I mean, whether he not sure he picked the wrong team, but Doku had an absolute stinker. He's not had that many good games, and he didn't have one yesterday. And to add to that, Kyle Walker had a pretty horrendous game as well. So we had a sort of whole right side of the pitch that was just not functioning very well at all. But I don't think Doku is reliable enough. I don't think Doku is trustworthy enough as a player who can hold the ball and do something sensible with it in the right situation. He's a bit of a headless chicken. You know, he's always bound to come up and do something special every so often. But in those sorts of games, he wasn't the right player. And yes, I did think we were one man light in the midfield.
Let's come back to the positives. And Guardiol, back to you, if I may, David. I'm very impressed by Guardiol, certainly the last two or three games he's played. What about you?
Yeah, he's come of age. He was, I think, voted the best defender in the World Cup. So he did have great pedigree, but again, with City, it takes time to set that. I think the last five or six games he's looked great. It's a surprise he's scoring these goals, but that header, he was strong and like he really commanded that. It's a sort of Diaz used to score a couple of those sorts of goals, didn't he? But I thought he was magnificent yesterday, and I think he's getting better every game. And I was always annoyed because I wanted him in the middle and have Ake at the left back, but it seems to be working all right like that. And yeah, I really like him. I think he's, you know, he's very young as well. So if he grows, I think he could become a real powerhouse for us. And I think he's on that right journey now. And I think, obviously, working under Pep and the coaches, I think he's great. And I think he'll be a big asset.
One of the writers I was reading this morning said, after City found the new Gundogan, what do you reckon, Spencer?
Well, who's the new Gundogan?
Guardiola.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't have said that. No, no. But, I mean, it was amazing what you get for 90 million euros with Guardiola, wasn't it? And he was highlighted as one of the leading prospects in world football. So I'm not shocked that he's doing well. But he's got a really great attitude. I'm also surprised to see him out on the left all the time. But as the guys just said, you know, it sort of seems to work. I wonder whether the sort of longer-term prospect is that he'll end up being a central defender, which I believe that's what he was until he joined City. So, you know, in Pep we trust. He scored a great goal yesterday. And he scored two. He scored that worldie against Madrid, didn't he? And then they had a great one in the league game. So he's you can see he's hungry for the ball. Great movement. He's got great feet, really has. So, you know, long may he be, become a real stalwart of the City team, I'd say. I agree with all of that.
If he does become a central defender again for City, Nick, he's going to have to work hard to replace Ake. Again, playing brilliant, I think. What about you?
I think Ake is fantastic. And again, he's grown as a player over the last 2-3 years. Incredibly, he's a very intelligent guy. He's got an incredible work ethic, and he's just a great sort of person to have in a squad. Really high quality, and he hardly ever lets you down. On Guardiol, you know, I can see him as a centre back, but I can see him as a not quite a Gundogan, but another John Stones. I think he's got enough intelligence and enough capability to play in that role and just step out of defence and into the midfield. I mean, he's kind of asked to play as sort of a wing back a lot of the time, and a lot's asked of him up there in the sort of the top half of the pitch on the wing. He does a fairly decent job of that, but that is a lot to ask of him, I think. But I can certainly see him in that sort of Stones role over the coming years, which would be fantastic because there's not many players who can do that.
Let's come on some positives again with Haaland. I mean, he came on late. One chance, one goal. David, you can't complain, can you?
No. Well, I said, I think, on the WhatsApp groups yesterday, that's what we bought him for. He comes on, he does something which is... we need him as a killer. You just get the one goal at the right time. And he hasn't done that this season, really. But he came good yesterday. And that's exactly what we want him. I don't care if he does nothing for the rest of the game. He got that vital goal. He buried it really well. And he scored one out of one chances. And it's a shame with all the other matches, if he'd just done the odd killer goal here and there, we would have been home and dry by now. So hopefully that's given them confidence.
We would, but I'll put it to you, Spencer. You know, he scored, am I right in saying, 80 goals in less than two seasons? I mean, what do you want for sixpence? Good God.
Very demanding, aren't we? Well, he's only scored 21 league goals so far this season.
Oh, my God, terrible.
He's only the leading goal scorer, and I, you know, he probably will take that for the second year running. So we are very, very demanding. But, of course, he set the bar unbelievably high last season, unbelievably high. And everyone's studied him. Everyone's got three, you know, two or three on him when he's got the ball. So, but as David said, you know, yesterday, one chance, clinical. And he's often on his sort of predominantly left foot, isn't he? But he sort of, you know, he just sort of dominated the defender, dragged it through, made, you know, converted it, sweet, you know, right to you know, precise in the corner. So that's the Haaland that we love to see. And, you know, he just got on the pitch, didn't he? So we hope that he'll be pumped for the four games. And I think we're, you know, probably going to talk about this, but, you know, we're in a really strong position to close this out now, you know, four wins from the title.
We'll come to that a little bit later. But Nick, meantime, let's just pursue Haaland for a minute. Could this psychologically be a turning point for everything after a bit of a lean spell?
We hope so. I mean, we've kind of thought he had some of those turning points recently. He got, what, five against Luton about a couple of months ago. That could have been a great turning point. He has been a bit on and off this season. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The stats are the stats, but he has missed an absolute wheelbarrow load of chances that could have wrapped some really important games up for us. But, you know, it is what it is. And he's got four or five games now that are of the utmost importance. They're all cup finals, as we know. And this is where he can really make his mark. And I'm sure he'll be starting next weekend, injuries aside. He's got the talent. We all know he's got the talent. He does make things look easy when he's on form. And we are just desperate for that to happen over the next month or so now.
Well, you say you should be starting the next game, but Tom, one of our listeners, one of our followers, posed a question earlier on X. He said, for the next few games, would Pep start Alvarez or would he start Haaland? And Tom would start Alvarez, bringing on Haaland, say, after 60-odd minutes. Let me put that thought to David. Who would you start in the next few games, David?
I think for away games, I'd start Alvarez. And for home games, I'd start Haaland. Because Alvarez in these away games creates a bit of space. And I think it's too much of a luxury at the moment. When we talk about the amount of goals Haaland has scored, it's great. But we're talking about we need quality as much as quantity. You need him to score winning goals in key moments, yeah? Did he score against Liverpool? Did he score against Arsenal? Did he score against Real Madrid? Did he score when he had those chances right at the end, the one chance against Arsenal to bury one chance that might have transformed, you know, that one chance is a killer. If he scored then, it's a whole different ballgame. So it's no point scoring a million, five goals against Luton in the Cup. Yeah, we need him to score the killer goals. And that's the bigger, to me, the most important thing. So at the moment, I don't think when we're playing against teams that are playing tight against us, he's not getting the space. So you might as well use Alvarez at the moment to create a bit of space. And then when the game's a bit more open, then you can use Haaland.
You go along with that, Spencer?
I would probably go along with that. Yeah, I mean, it was good that Alvarez got a goal against Brighton. I think that was the first time in a while that he converted. You know, he's always a willing runner. He obviously drops back further back into midfield to collect the ball, which Haaland generally does not. I kind of agree with that, but I tend to think he's going to start the last four games. I mean, time will tell, and possibly with Alvarez in some of them. But I agree overall kind with what David's saying there.
Let's just briefly discuss some of the negatives from the game against Forest. And I'll put this to you, Nick. Paul Walker had one of the worst games I've seen him play for a long time. What about you?
Yeah, he just made some absolutely appalling mistakes. And he was a little bit cocky, I think, on two or three occasions, lost the ball in really important areas.
Beaten for place as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that guy was playing for Forest. Was he number 43 on the left-hand side?
He's a Nigerian international that comes from South London.
Absolute monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did have a poor game. One of those things, I guess.
One of those things, Spencer?
I'm not sure, really. I think his form has been... I mean, he's excelled in certain games, and he's been, you know, really quite poor in three or four games out of the last dozen, I'd say. I don't know whether the off-field's got anything to do with that. We always can sort of make excuses. But it tends to be like a little bit of overconfidence. And also against Real, the first leg, he was a bit properly good there. So we're used to a very high standard. You know, he remains a great player for us. But too many errors on the defensive side in the last half dozen games, that's for sure.
Your verdict, David, on our team fullback?
Well, I think Walker is a leader. He's very confident. He doesn't panic. You know, in the last few minutes, you see just the way he nonchalantly chests down the ball, yeah, at the right time.
Yeah.
He's very in control. He's very, very focused. I don't think anything off the pitch, yeah, gives him I think, the incentive on the pitch to be good. He's a real leader. He does all the pep talks around when they all do the huddles and everything. He does make the odd mistake here and there. But I think overall, I think he's become a very strong player and a very strong leader. And I think you need that. You know, we don't have the Vinnie Companies anymore. He sort of plays a bit of a Vinnie Company role mentally. And I think that's quite important.
Now, the big question, do any of you know why Walker tweaks Guardiola's nose?
No idea.
No idea. It's obviously an in-joke. Never mind. We're going to take a break there. Come back in a couple of minutes. Join us when we discuss not only the game against Brighton, but our future fixtures. Who do we fear the most? Join us in a couple of ticks.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the Man City Show. And now, where do we go from here? Can the fat lady sing yet? No, not quite. But we've got some interesting fixtures, to say the least. Not least Spurs, which are these games we fear the most. But before we get to that, brief word about the game against Brighton. Although we played brilliantly, I thought, actually, in that game, deserved winners. And it was a tougher game than Forest on paper, wasn't it? Let's go to David, first of all. Your reaction on that game?
I was away in Dubai, actually. And I watched it at 11 o'clock at night with a friend of mine who was staying with me, and he was a big, big Brighton fan. So he gave me a complete rundown on the Brighton team. They had four injuries. They played a few players, a couple of players, like one's the Argentinian who made a mistake. He's very green behind the ears. He's very new. He does play actually for Argentina, but he said he's a young kid. He's 19. So he pointed out a lot of the frailties, and he was absolutely bang on. He said that they were a little bit tired anyway. They sort of run out of steam. They'd lost about 5 out of 6 or something. So to be honest, we didn't have the Brighton that we think we were going to play. Sure. We had Brighton on a very easy footing. It was quite an easy game for us, especially they missing some key players. So I think we were lucky we got them on a good day. We got them when they just run out. I mean, even De Zerbi's sort of a little bit, I'm like, oh, we just want to get the season over with now. They played Europe and they haven't got a big squad. So everything went for us, and we played well, and we made the most of it. So a bit of both, really.
Despite all that, Spencer, you know, one has to say that Ford in particular had a great game. A bit lucky with the first goal, but overall, superb performance, and did we miss him at Forest, really?
Well, definitely. I mean, really, it was really men v boys. I mean, first half especially. And I know Brighton are not perhaps the force that they were, and they got, you know, various injuries and youngsters in. But we played really, really well in that, especially in the first half. Foden, great. I mean, the first goal was just a bit lucky, wasn't it? Like just one of those that go in. And the second was a really opportunistic. They made a mistake, didn't they, in defence, and he just latched onto it. And that's the piece that Phil Foden adds that really other players don't so much, possibly Alvarez. You know, he had a half chance and it was a clinical finish, classic Phil Foden. So, yeah, he was great. And I love the KDB header, actually, the first goal with the walk of assist. I mean, that was beautiful, actually. So I thought we were really very, very dominant, and we played really well. No sign of fatigue, and, you know, really, really confident win. And that's what made the Forest performance all the more surprising.
Yeah, the big bonus, Nick, wasn't it? KDB back to top form, yeah?
Yeah, he was excellent. He was excellent, and it was a brilliant goal. It was a genius goal, brilliant header. Look, I think that, you know, there's one thing that's probably more important than anything else at this point of the season, and that's the motivation of the teams that you're playing. At least half of them are already on the beach now. It doesn't really feel like we're nearly at the end of the season because the weather's so bloody freezing, but it's May. It's May in a couple of days, and most of these teams are pretty much done and dusted. Brighton are one of them. They're right bang in the middle of the table. They've got nothing to play for. They've got a load of injuries. They're sticking some young players in the team, and they're just giving it a go. And when they're done, a goal or two behind, then they're done. You know, hopefully that's going to play out at least for the next couple of games as well.
Okay, let's look to the future now. Our future prospects against, well, we've got Wolves, we've got Fulham, we've got Spurs. Dare I mention Spurs? We've got West Ham United. Which is the team we fear most, David? First of all,
well, it's got to be Spurs. But I just hope Spurs continue to play the way they play, and he doesn't change it, because he didn't change it, and he wants to play only his way. He didn't change it against Arsenal, and they got punished. I'm hoping he wants to carry on that way and be quite a bit like Pep. I only play one way. And if they play only that way, it gives a good chance, because there's holes there, aren't they? And there's potential. So, you know, we've never played Spurs under Ange. And I think they, and if they're not in the running for the Champions League at that point, also that would be quite good. So obviously Spurs are the concern. Fulham's not going to be easy, but they're sort of hit and miss at the moment. We should win that one. Obviously Wolves, we should. They've got quite a few injuries, Wolves, as well. So, and then obviously we've got the lovely West Ham on the last day. So we have won the league against West Ham a few years ago, didn't we?
We did.
10 years ago.
When Liverpool were playing as well, but we did that soon and I was there. So, you've got to say it's a Spurs game, and we just got to hope, you know, if only, you know, we've got, as the guys are very, I like the way they're focused. They just say, we just have to concentrate on what we do. And I think that's a good mentality.
Let's just pursue the Spurs game for a moment, if I may, Spencer. The irony is, of course, that if Spurs beat us, they almost certainly hand Arsenal the title.
That's very true, isn't it? That's very well. They didn't really do us any favours at the weekend, did they? So I don't know whether the mentality will be any different. It's definitely our bogey ground. I know we beat them in the cup, but in recent years, I think the last time I was there was Harry Kane got his record. So I've had a thoroughly miserable time at White Hart Lane over the years.
I was glad I'd never go there again.
Yeah, great atmosphere, except not for City fans, it seems. But I do think, you know, if somebody had said 4 games to go, it's in our hands, you would really back us heavily, heavily to go into a game like that with purpose. As we said before, you know, Spurs might be out of the top four at that point. So I think we can go in with a justifiable high degree of confidence for a game like this.
Nick, is Spurs the one for you, the one we've really got to win more than any other?
Well, yeah, it is, because you know, the other teams that we're playing are also firmly mid-table and got virtually nothing to play for. Spurs are on the cusp of Champions League, and that's going to be a really difficult situation unless they can get themselves clear of Aston Villa. And then Spurs' next games are Chelsea away, Liverpool away, and then Burnley at home. So that gets them sort of a couple of one or two of their games in hand back before they then play us. So, you know, they've actually got one more match to play than we have. So they're still playing midweek and weekends until the end of the season. It's going to be potentially a difficult game if they've got Champions League to play for, certainly.
Let's just talk about Arsenal for a couple of minutes before we wrap up. Back to you, David O'May. What do you concede they're playing more attractive football than City at the minute?
What do I think, sorry?
They're playing more attractive football than us.
Yeah, they do. they do play more attractive football. We can be a bit boring. I think we all stopped yesterday. I think at one stage, we're like, everyone just stood still and stopped. And, you know, we're not playing quickly, are we? We're playing with a very measured way. Yeah, we just want to hold the ball and play the way we do. And it can get a bit boring. And, yeah, I do think Arsenal are more entertaining, definitely. They haven't come a cropper yet as well. I think they had the odd bad result. But to be fair to them, they are playing well. I mean, 5-0 Chelsea. Yeah, they sort of battered Spurs for a while and still got a win. They're not wobbling yet, are they?
They're not.
And that is a worry.
Would you concede they're a more attractive team than City at the moment?
Well, I don't want you to put those words into my mouth there, John, but probably.
That's a question, old boy. Question.
Probably. I mean, look, they've scored more goals than us. They've conceded less than us. They added sort of, you know, Rice and Havertz in there, and they play an ultimate team game. You've got to have total respect for them. Arteta, you know, obviously under Pep's fine tutelage, has got a chance to beat the master. But they're a good team to watch, and they're very consistent, and they also overcame their blip against Villa. So, you know, big respect. And the truth is, our level through this season has been one or two notches down. Otherwise, we'd be out of sight by now. So we don't want to big them up too much, but they play great football.
The great thing about our team, as far as I can see it, Nick, is that they seem, even under pressure, they seem immune to anxiety.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, they've done it so many times. You know, it is a positive that we just go out and play our game week in, week out. You know, we talk about whether we were a bit below par Forest. But yes, we were, in terms of the fact that we made mistakes. But, you know, we just played our game. We played a very similar sort of game as we did at Brighton, and, you know, virtually any other game you can recall, because we just play like that, and we play like that because 99 times out of 100 it gets us a couple of goals and it wins us the game. So, you know, it's in terms of muscle memory, it's all there. And in terms of what's going on in their heads, you know, they've all done it before many, many times.
One final question to you all. Are we going to win the title? Can the fat lady sing, or is she still on standby? David?
50-50.
No, more than that?
No. Yeah. I think it is literally 50-50. It's on a knife edge.
Spencer?
Much more confident than that. I'm 80-20. It's in our hands.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm confident, but I'm sort of with David. You know, I don't think Arsenal are going to drop more points, so we've got to win all our remaining games. It's just not easy. We are certainly capable of it, but, you know, like to think that Forest performance was the last not very good performance of the season.
So the fat lady's on standby, not singing yet?
Correct.
Gentlemen, thank you all very much indeed for your cooperation. Lovely seeing you all again. Fingers crossed.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.